Right, tonight's topic is gluten-free matzah, a paradox or a panacea. Panacea is a cure-all. And the question is, obviously this is more relevant for someone who's gluten-free, but the question in general, that we have a society in which it's very popular to be, let's say, gluten-sensitive, or certain people are celiac, and some people feel the need to reduce the amount of gluten intake, and Pesach has a very difficult time for those individuals, because we know that much of the diet centers around matzah and gluten. But specifically, what I want to discuss tonight is the potential ability to fulfill the mitzvah of achilas matzah with gluten-free matzah. I don't know if anyone in the audience here is gluten-free.
Nope.
No? But I personally did go through a stage where I was advised by a doctor to become gluten-free. Granted, she was somewhat of an alternative medicine doctor. She had an MD, but she was open to other forms of medicine. And I did try a gluten-free diet for a while, but currently I'm not. I was never celiac, or Hashem. I was never allergic in the acute sense of the word. But I did try a gluten-free diet. So this is something that is actually particularly interesting to me. And I know that there are some people that are, in fact, gluten-free, and many people know people that are gluten-free. And I think it's an important topic. Just, you'll see how this is going to be very interesting. Even if one doesn't have this particular question, but in general, we'll see how halacha and science in this particular question are going to play a significant role in interplay between halacha and science, and how we understand what in fact Chazal want us to eat, and what in fact Chazal were telling us. And I think it's very fascinating. I got much of this material, all of this material, from Rabbi Noach Goldstein, my Chavrusa, and he gave this as his Shabbos HaGadol Drasha at the Jewish Center this past week, and I used a lot of his notes, and we discussed a lot of it, and I asked Rabbi Willig some particular questions. So let's begin. So the first part is the mitzvah to eat matzah. Right? We have a psukim say explicitly in Sefer Shemos, Shivas Yomim Matzos Tochelu, for 7 days ye shall eat unleavened bread. Right? And we know that in Pasuk Yud Ches, this is Parak Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Ches, Birishon Barba Asar Yom, in the first month of the 14th day of the month, Vachodesh Ba'erev Tochlu Matzos. And in the evening, you should eat matzah. So that's pretty explicit. And we have we have source number 2. We have the Mechilta. The Mechilta says that there's an obligation on the first night, Lasos Arishon Chova, that it says Shivas Yamim Matzos Tochelu. The first day is an obligation, Vishar Yamim Rishus, and the rest of the time are optional. And this is, in fact, what the Rambam says. The Rambam says in source number 3, Mitzvah Saseh min HaTorah L'achol Matzah B'Leil Chamish Asar, that the Mitzvah Saseh, and we have 2 nights, right? 2 Sedarim, as a Sfeik of the Yoma. We don't know which one's the first night, but the first night is the obligation, min HaTorah, the Rambam in Hilchas Chabetz Matzah, Perek Vav, Halacha Aleph, says this. And he says, however, Avo B'Shara Regal, the rest of the festival, Achilas Matzah Rishus, it's optional. Rotza ochel matzah. You can eat matzah. Rotza ochel orez. You can eat rice. Right? The Rambam is pre gezerah. Pre minhag of kitnios. And he was Sephardi. So I don't know. The communities of Sephard never accepted the minhag of kitnios. He says odochan. You can eat millet. Okilios. Nuts. Peros. You can do whatever you want. Obviously, you can't eat lechem, bread. And this, in fact, is what we paskin in the Shulchan Aruch. There is a gra that says that every... Yes, exactly. Very good. So Zev is a learned Jew, and he knows that the gra... Rabbi Wiederblank? What's your rabbi's name? Rabbi Friedman. So yes, there's a famous Gro who talks about how perhaps every kezayis you have after the Seder is in fact a mitzvah saseh, but that's a unique shita, hard to fully understand. It would take a whole shir to understand the Gro. But in this Shulchan Aruch, source number 4, right, in Or Chaim Simen, Tuf, Ayin, Hey, Sif Aleph, he says that we eat the shear of eating the night of the Seder is to eat Behaseba, leaning, Beyachad, Kezayis, Mikol Echad, and each every matzah you have a Kezayis, which in fact may total up to, it may total up to a total of 3 Kezayisim. Why? So if we count it up, we have 1 kezayis for motzi, right, hamotzi. We have 1 kezayis for achilas matzah. And we have 1 kezayis for the afikomen. So that would be, if we were totaling the total amount that normally one would eat. Now obviously the bare minimum mitzvah to araisa would probably be a kezayis, as we will see soon. But and then that's what he says. If you're not able to have the 2 kezayisim, that's talking about if you're not able to have it at once. But fine. The Magen Avraham, source number 5, writes that a chole, someone who's ill, shein yochel echol kiim kezayis matzah, he's only able to have 1 size of olive size of matzah, or either he's not able to have more, or he's only able to, he only has 1 of size, yochel tavshilo below hamotzi. So he should eat his meal without hamotzi. The achar su does so, and after his suda finishes yivarech hamotzi, he should say hamotzi v'achilas matzah v'yochel kezayis. He should say hamotzi, and he should say achilas matzah on 1 kezayis. So be the eved. The Magen Avraham says you don't need to have 2 different kezayisim, but the way we do it, we have the motzi matzah right before the Shulchan Aruch. Then at the end of Shulchan Aruch, we have another kezayis for afikomen, right? So that's only if you have enough. But a person can't eat more than 1 kezayis, or if he only has 1, so he does both the motzi matzah and hamotzi after the meal is over, and it makes that his final thing to eat, and makes a bracha of both of those brachas on 1 kezayis. That's okay, b'diavad, as the Magen Avraham says.
So the only d'oraisa with matzah is that you have to eat a kezayis.
That would be that seemingly is the understanding of the Magen Avraham. And even though, yes, there are shitos that every kezayis we should really eat 2 kezayisim because the olives that we have are smaller, we're not getting into any of these chumras. Bottom line is, the way we do it, we generally have about 3 kezayisim, whatever you want to say as a kezayis. And if a person can't have 3, they can only have 1, maybe 2, whatever, but the Magen Avraham's case is only 1. You could only have 1, you could still make both the brachos, hamotzi and achilas matzah. And then, the afikomen, which is in place of the Pesach, is really going to be that you're eating the everything in 1. You're doing the afikomen, because you're doing it at the end of your meal, and you're doing motzi matzah and achilas matzah all on 1 kezayis. Right? There's 2, because the Shulchan Aruch says that really you should be making 2 different, you should have 2 different kezayisim, 1 for motzi matzah and 1 for achilas matzah. But if you only have, you're able to do that 1 bracha on 1 kezayis. It's really so fine, b'diavad.
Some time with matzah, you won't need it. You just make a bracha on the matzah.
You do eat it, but you wait till after your suda's over, so you're kind of doing it all as an afikomen, so to speak.
So meaning you're making a,
let's say you only have 1 kezayis. Let's say you're not sick, but all you have is 1 kezayis. It's all one little piece. So what do you do with that? Do you eat it before the suda, then you don't have an afikomen? So what he says to do is, you have your whole meal, you didn't make motzi matzah, you didn't make achilas matzah, you push it off, you eat with, you say the brachos on the food, then at the end of the meal you wash, then you say motzi matzah, achilas matzah, and then you eat a kezayis. And that's all you do. Because then you're getting the afikomen, you're getting the mitzvahs of the matzah, and you're saying hamotzi.
All in one.
Okay. Now, let's discuss non-wheat matzah. Non-wheat matzah. That's all assuming that we're dealing with regular wheat matzah. So, What are, does anyone know what the five types of greens are in the Torah? Barley, good.
Spelt,
very good. Shifon. Shifon. We'll see in a moment. I'm sorry, kusmin. Shifon is rye.
Rye, spelt,
wheat, barley.
Bulgur, wheat, I don't know.
So the one that he missed, which is the whole topic of tonight's shiur, is
oats.
Oats.
I read it off the paper.
Not that you missed it. Maybe he missed it on purpose, because that is, in fact, the discussion and the debate. The heated debate. This gets really intense, by the way. I know it sounds like, oh, oats, yes, no, maybe. We'll see in a moment. Some are accusing others of kfirah, of heresy, if they challenge the well-standing minhag practice of Jews for thousands of years to assume that oats are one of the five species of grain. So let's now discuss. It's a Mishnah in Pesachim. The Mishnah says the following in Perek Beis Mishnah Hey. These are the things that a person is allowed to fulfill his obligation on Pesach. These are the five grains. Let's read them in Hebrew, and then we'll try to translate them. And you'll see in a moment that this is up for debate. Bichitim, with wheat. That's pretty easy. No one's debating that. Bisa'or, barley. No one is arguing about that. Bikusmin. That is spelt. No one's arguing about that. Ubishifon, rye. I've never seen anyone have rye matzah. I don't think it works very well. And now, this is the topic of tonight's shiur. Vishibolas shu'al. Literally, the grain of the fox. What is the grain of a fox? So there's a big discussion, because it's not clear. Some say it's oats, some say it's barley, some say it's rye. We are going to see. This is a heated debate. And the Shulchan Aruch writes in Tav Nun Gimel Sif Aleph that the minug is lahach lekach lechachila chitim, that ideally we take wheat, even though you're allowed to fulfill your obligation, he says, with chitin, sa'orin, kusmin, shibol, shuel, we're not going to translate what that is, v'shifon, but it's best to take wheat, and Mishabura says, because it's more precious, it's chaviv to people, wheat is fanciest, nowadays I don't know if that's so true, but really, really, if people are not gluten-free, wheat is the most desired, it's the most popular of all grains, and it's a hider mitzvah, the Mishabura says, right on that spot. Okay. What about celiacs? What do celiacs do? So let us read an article written by Rabbi David Cohen, very esteemed posek in today's world. He has an entire article entitled Celiac, A Guide to Mitzvah Observance, in which he addresses this very difficult problem. What is a celiac person who's allergic to wheat or any type of gluten? Because barley has gluten. All the five grains have gluten besides for oat. And we're going to discuss, perhaps, that is an indication that it's not one of the five grains. So, Rabbi Yehuda Cohen in the following article discusses it. He says, however, Maharsham suggests that a second reason for the minug, in other words, the minug to eat wheat, which indicates the chimetz process, is based on the Gemara, which indicates that the chimetz process for some grains is different than for wheat, and we should therefore only bake matzah from the grain which we have the most experience. Chimetz is fermentation. Leavening. Fermentation is part of that idea that eventually you could get to that. But leavening is how when the grain, there's a certain chemical process which I'm not an expert in, but basically the carbohydrates break down and the proteins break down and it releases this this rising process. It's a chemical reaction. And you're able to add yeast to make things leaven better. But essentially, even without the yeast, bread can rise. And we know that wheat has the best type of rise of any grain. And therefore, the Maharsham says, you know why we always use wheat for matzah? Because we're the most experienced with that process. We know how long it takes. We know how it rises. So we don't have to worry about chametz. Although, based on this, very important to note, the Minchas Yitzchak says that one should not produce matzah from non-wheat grains, even for those unable to eat wheat matzah. Whew. Although the responsive ends on a strict note, Rabbi Kestenbaum reports that when Diane Weiss, Rabbi Kestenbaum, is the first to really make this this oat matzah popular. Rabbi Kestenbaum ran tests. He made this whole thing. Now you have you know, now we have Lakewood type of oat matzah, and we have from Manchester. I think they have something. They have Chabad. They have tons of people making this oat matzah. So yeah, exactly. They're in Lakewood. Oh, it must be fine. So we'll see. Not quite. So Rabbi Kestenbaum reports that when Diane Weiss was Mincha Yitzchak, he was informed there are some people who are so allergic as to be unable to eat wheat matzah under any condition. He agreed that such people were permitted to eat oat matzah. This leniency is quite understandable in light of the Rama and the Marsha merely reporting a minhag to use wheat. We said before, it's the minhag. The Rama said, quoting the Ma'aril, as we said earlier on the Shulchan Aruch, that the minhag is to take wheat, is to use wheat, and the Mishnah Berurah just said it's a hiddur mitzvah, but anything's fine for any of the four grains, which is most desirable.
Wait, the Minchas Yitzchak took it back and said that...
He said originally, no non-wheats, because we have no experience. But then he said to them, Rabbi Kestenbaum said to the Minchas Yitzchak, Rabbi Diane Weiss, excuse me, I want to let you know there are people who are literally allergic. They can't eat anything. So he said, oh, if that's the case, we could rely on what the Rama wrote, that it's just a minhag, it's a practice to have wheat, and all the other grains are certainly fine for matzah.
It seems like it's pretty clear that
if they have a wheat allergy, they could use spelt. If they have a wheat allergy, they could use, I've never seen rye matzah, but they could use rye. Now the question becomes, what about oat? And therefore, many people have an allergy to gluten in general. Oat doesn't have any gluten chemically. And therefore, the question became, is there a way to, if we're not going to distinguish between any of the five grains, and it's only just a practice, according to the Rama, that we have a minhag, the marsham. Not that it's, not that we're going to get into chametz problems. No, it's just a practice, then perhaps we can be more lenient and say for someone who really can't eat anything else, to use any one of the other five grains. And that's why Rabbi Kestenbaum said, in fact, after many years of experience working with oats and preventing them from becoming chametz, he in fact manufactured a non-gluten, a gluten-free matzah. So now, what part number three is needs to dis- what we're going to discuss, and what we really need to clarify is, are you able to make matzah out of oat? Because oats cannot become chametz, as we shall see. So let's delve right into it. The Gemara in Pesachim, source number 10, Pesachim 35a, says the following. It says that these are the following things that you're allowed to use for matzah. The Gemara says, it says, lo tochel olav chametz. The pasuk says, you should not eat chametz. Then it says you should eat matzah for 7 days. And the Gemara understands that to be an indication that anything that you're allowed to, the only things you're allowed to use for matzah are things in which, things that can become chametz. Right? I was just talking to my wife last night. We were like looking through some of our lotions, and some of the lotions have some oat in them, and I asked her about willig today. Actually, it's totally mutter. It's nefsel me'achilas kalav. Dog won't eat it. But I just said to my wife, I said, look, it has some wheat extract. And my wife said, so what's the problem? Doesn't matzah have she asked, but isn't matzah wheat? And I thought, I also had that thought like growing up. Yes, but it doesn't rise. We take it out of the oven right away. That's the whole idea of matzah. It could have become chametz, but you save it before it rises. And that's what it is, right? That's the whole idea. That matzah could become chametz, but it didn't. That's like that. I don't know when it dawned on me. I was a young kid. I was like thinking, like, wait, we don't eat any wheat. So how are we eating this matzah? Right? It's a mistake. The whole... Yes, we're going to see in a moment. Yes. What is whole wheat matzah? What is whole wheat, by the way? Whole wheat.
I don't know.
It's just not processed.
They completely bleach the flour.
They don't bleach it. They don't bleach it.
Yeah, when it's holy, they
number one, they don't bleach it. Number two, they don't really process it. Number three, they could add more of these kernels in there. Listen, I don't think there's a problem with it. I think in general, halacha looks at fine flour as better in terms of karbanos. You know, we always look at fine flour as better. And bizman hazeh, you know, the fancy is whole wheat. But
either way,
it's expensive. But the point that I wanted to make is that we forget sometimes. It's not that we're avoiding wheat; we're avoiding chametz. Chametz is wheat that became leaven, but matzah did not become leaven. Okay. But the Gemara here makes a very important point, and this is where we kind of see a problem starting to begin with oat. And we're going to see it becomes even more complicated. The Gemara says, "Devarim haboyim lidei chimutz, things that can become chametz, adam yotzei b'yamim dechavas b'matzah, things that could rise, those are the things that you save right before, not right before, hopefully more before you get into problems. The 18 minutes, the whole thing. We don't even if you go into a matzah factory, they don't usually let you even get even close to the matzah. But we're not even getting close to 18 minutes. They put it in for like 2 minutes at max, or else it burns so crisp. They put it in, boom, out.
It's about being in the oven.
They get it hot, and it fully cooks it.
I thought it's supposed to be 18 minutes between when you mix the water.
Exactly, correct. But they're not even getting close to 18 minutes.
Right.
That's the max.
They roll it out.
Yeah, they're not even getting close to 18 minutes. The problem is, and this is the issue for oats, that if you get pure oats, and this is what Rabbi Kestenbaum and others did. What they did was is they kept rebreeding and rebreeding and rebreeding the oat to make sure that there was no trace of gluten in them. And by the way, the Cheerios in 2015, I think, had a $1.6 million box recall because the Cheerios went gluten free recently. It was 5-6 years ago, and there were traces of gluten, and celiac people had reacting from it, and they had to recall tons of their boxes. What's pshat? They were using oat for the Cheerio base. The answer is there was contamination. That oats are often grown next to wheat, and in the makeup of the actual the oats, there could become sort of a breeding or a mixture. I'm not a botanist, but there is some sort of contamination which happens that there could be gluten even in the oat. That's why the spitz, very fancy, pure oat, without any contamination, the steel cut, something that they have this in Scotland and all these special places. It's not like in those countries there's special oats that they, you know, that they grow there. No, they have a pure grain that has no traces of any gluten. And that's going to be a problem, as we shall see, because if you really have no gluten, you have no protein, gluten is a protein, you have no protein, you just have the carb, it's not going to rise. And if it's not going to rise, it can't become chametz. If it can't become chametz, the simple understanding of this Gemara is that it cannot be used for your matzah.
But you can eat it on Pesach.
Yeah, we're not talking about... we're not talking about asering eating oats, we're talking about fulfilling your mitzvah of matzah on Pesach. This is another reason why matzah shiro. Let's not get into it right now. Okay. And the Ramban in Milchamas Hashem says this exact point in source number 12. He says if it doesn't become chametz, if it cannot become chametz, it is not possible to be used for matzah. Okay, now let's look at how Rabbi Cohen explains this debate. There seems to be a debate regarding relevant to oat matzah. He says oats are different than any other grain in that they must be heat treated before being stored. After that treatment, they are unable to become chametz. Interesting. So that I don't really know how this works, but they have to do some sort of treatment. If so, according to the understanding of the Ramban, as we just read, that one may not use matzah made from a mixture which could not become chametz. May only use matzah made from a mixture which could become. Oh, matzah would seem to be unacceptable for the Seder.
It can be. It's just the way that they process it. It's the treatment, but
right,
like
that
the,
seems to be
the
right.
Initial
maybe the actual grain.
Product. Yeah, the actual grain could technically become it. So
okay,
maybe it's good enough that maybe they do something to it, but.
Now, if you look back, I skipped this source, but I think it's important. Look back at source number 11. The Rambam, when he discusses the matzah that was shalosha b'mei peros, he says, let's say you have matzah that you kneaded with fruit juice. He says, yotze ba yidei chovaso, you could be yotze. You could fulfill your obligation of Pesach. In other words, fulfill your mitzvah of matzah. Amol ein loshen also b'yayin, you shouldn't, you know, need it in wine, or b'shemen, or shemen, or oil, or dvash or cholov, milk or honey. Yishum lechem oni. It's got to be lechem oni. It's got to be poor. It's got to be that bare crackers taste. V'im lush v'achol lo yotzei chavasa. So what do we see from this Rambam? We see that the Rambam doesn't have the same qualification that the Ramban had, because the Rambam just says, in fact, you're going to be yotzei dechovaso if you're lush b'mei peros. And he says, as long as it's lechem oni, seemingly, as long as it's not any fancy stuff, then oat matzah seemingly will be okay. Because it's got the lechem oni element. So that's what the Rabbi Cohen says. Rabbi Cohen, or David Cohen again, says that the reticence, the hesitation of the poskim to rely on the lenient opinion, in other words, to rely on the Rambam's position that you do not need to have something which could become chametz when mixed with water. He says that that's the reason in this tshuva that to Rav Asher, the Rav Dayan Asher Weistheim, the certified rabbi for Rabbi Kestenbaum's oat matzah, notes that in the cases of great need, a celiac may rely on the Chai Adam and the Rambam. The Chai Adam accepts the Rambam and eat oat matzah on the Seder, but should have someone else recite the bracha. In other words, he thinks that that because it's the Rambam doesn't seem to have such a distinction as the Ramban, that we could rely on a Shasat Chak in an emergency situation, a celiac person who cannot have any wheat, you could rely on that.
Someone else can do bracha for him.
Yeah, he's someone else eating wheat. He says what you should do is, and we're going to discuss this further, we're not going to be able to finish tonight, this is a vast topic, but he says, based on the Rambam, who does not require the chimutz to happen, which is interesting, I thought it was the Pashut Pshat in this Gemara, so I don't really know.
So if I can talk, someone can make a bracha for me? And then I can eat something?
I'm sorry?
Someone can make a bracha for me if I can't talk for whatever reason.
Yeah, shumi ha-ka'ona.
Okay.
Yeah, shumi ha-ka'ona. So, I'm not exactly sure what they mean, that the Rambam doesn't require the oats to become chametz, doesn't require the whatever you're using for the matzah to have the ability to become chametz. I don't know how he reads this Gemara. The Gemara seems to be pretty straight out. But I guess because the Rambam understands that to be an obligation of lechem oni, that seems to be the point. So therefore, as long as it's lechem oni, he thinks that that would be sufficient. Okay. We'll start this idea because we're not going to be able to finish it. But this really depends. Let's review what we've seen so far. And then we'll start with this question next time. So we've seen that you need to have one of the five grains to be yotzei your chiyuv of achilas matzah. We said you need a kezayis. Minimum, you need a kezayis. We said that one of the obligations of non-wheat matzah, even though the practice is to use wheat, but as long as it can come to a chimutz, as long as it can come to what we call leavening or fermenting, so then you're allowed to use it in a case where you can't use wheat. But that really depends on the debate between the Ramban and the Rambam. The Ramban says if it cannot become chametz, which heat treated oat matzah cannot become chametz when it's mixed with water, he says no good, can't use it. Seeming that's what the Ramban's opinion would be. And if David Cohen says in a shasat chak situation, in a situation in which it's very difficult for the person to have this type of matzah, we can rely on the Rambam. And what the Poskim are saying based on this Rambam is that the Rambam says your yotze, your chiyav, if you mix this matzah with peros, with made peros, with juice. Now that cannot make it rise. It can't make it into chametz. But the Rambam doesn't seem to require it to become chametz. And therefore, since the Rambam doesn't seem to think that it needs to be, so we can rely on that in the Shas Adchak situation. The next question, which we're going to have to discuss, which we'll finish tomorrow night, Bezos Hashem, is the first question that we said. This rising thing, there's ways of getting out of it. There's a professor, Dr. Monk, who has a whole understanding of how really oat could go under a certain fermenting process, whereas rice and other things, there's a stench when the carbohydrates break down and try to ferment it, and oat does. So really, the whole fermenting issue, there are explanations to explain how oats can qualify as becoming bodily chimots. But the number one problem, which is very difficult to answer for oat, which is we're gonna have to deal with at length, is in fact, are they one of the five grains? What do I mean? We listed a bunch of different things. We listed shifon, seora, chitin, kusmin, and we listed shibola shuel. Shibola shuel is not clear what it is. Does it mean oats? And it's going to be a three-way machlokas, but we're going to have to see many different indications as to looking at what the description of what this grain is to see if it's oats. And it's very likely, it's very possible, and we'll see those who argue this point, that in fact it is not oats. And if therefore, even if oats could become leaven, and even if oats could be fermented, if it's not one of the five grains, ain't going to work for your matzah. And that's why we're going to have to discuss tomorrow night part number four, which is, can we really be yotze with oats if in fact Shibola Shuel may not be oats? The fox's grain. Yes, Zeb. Yeah. The question. Okay, to be continued.
What about potato starch?
No, potato starch is not one of the five grains.
No, but can I, not for matzah.
Everyone has potato starch. All quinoa, what are you asking about? About matzah?
Yeah, potato buns. Can I have potato
Are you
buns?
Allowed to eat it? Of course you're allowed to eat it.
You can eat potato buns?
What's the problem with potatoes?
I don't know, nothing, but it looks
exactly like chametz. So that it was never part of the minhag of kitnios. It was never part of the minhag.